I don't know whether I was complaining the last time I gave class, but I did say the text only had 3 lines. And Krishna's, you know, it said that Krishna, he fulfills all desires. We have to be so very careful. Now I got 3 pages. So I just want to ask the blessings of all of you to give me some inspiration so I can speak something this morning. So bear with me while I read. As described in previous verse, people who have no taste for devotional service of the Lord are occupied in material engagements. Most of them engage during the daytime in hard physical labor. Their senses are engaged very extensively in troublesome duties in gigantic plants of heavy industrial enterprise. The owners of such factories are engaged in finding a market for their industrial products, and the laborers are engaged in extensive production involving huge mechanical arrangements. Factory is another name for hell. At night, hellishly engaged persons take advantage of wine and women to satisfy their tired senses. But they are not even able to have sound sleep because their various mental speculative plans constantly interrupt their sleep because they suffer from insomnia. Sometimes they feel sleepy in the morning for lack of sufficient rest. By the arrangement of supernatural power, even the great scientists and thinkers of the world suffer frustrations of their various plans and thus rot in the material world birth after birth. A great scientist may make discoveries in atomic energy for the quick destruction of the world and may be awarded the best prize in recognition of his service or disservice. But he also has to undergo the reactions of his work by rotating in the cycle of repeated births and deaths under the superhuman law of material nature. All these people who are against the principle of devotional service are destined to rotate in this material world without fail. This verse particularly mentions that even sages who are averse to the principles of devotional service to the Lord are also condemned to undergo the terms of material existence. Not only in this age, but formerly also, there were many sages who tried to invent their own systems of religion without reference to devotional service to the Supreme Lord. But there cannot be any religious principle without devotional service to the Lord. The Supreme Lord is the leader of the entire range of living entities, and no one can be equal to or greater than him. Even the Lord's impersonal feature, an all-pervading localized feature, cannot be an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there cannot be any religion or system of genuine philosophy for the advancement of the living entities without the principle of devotional service. The impersonalists who take much trouble in penance and austerity for self-liberation may approach the impersonal Brahmajyoti, but ultimately, because of not being situated in devotional service, they glide down again to the material world to undergo another term of material existence. This is confirmed as follows. Yaini ravindaksha vimukta maninas tvaya asta bhavat avishuddha buddhayo aruya kritrena parampadam tata patyanti ado nadrita yusmad angriraya. Persons who are falsely under the impression of being liberated without devotional service to the Lord may reach the goal of Brahmajyoti, but because of the impure consciousness and for want of shelter in the Vaikuntha locus, such so-called liberated person again fall down into the material existence. Bhagavatam 10:32. Therefore, no one can manufacture any system of religion without the principle of devotional service to the Lord. As we find in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the initiator of religious principles is the Lord himself. In Bhagavad Gita also we find that Lord condemns all forms of religion other than that which entails the process of surrendering unto the Supreme. Any system which leads one to devotional service of the Lord and nothing else is actually religion or philosophy. In the sixth canto, we find the following statements of Yamaraj, the controller of all unfaithful living entities. Dharman tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam na vai vidu rasayan api devaha na sita mukhya sura manusya kuto na vidyahara charanadayam svayambhuva nardaha sambhu kumara kapilo manhu pralado janako bhishmo pari vaisakir vayam dvadasaiti vikyanimo dharam bhagavatam pata kuyam vishudham durbudam yam natvamritam asnati. Govinda must know this by heart. The principles of religions are initiated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one else, including the sages and demigods, can manufacture any principles, since even great sages and demigods are unauthorized to inaugurate such principles of religion. What to speak of others, the so-called mystics, demons, human beings, vidyaharas and charanas living in the lower planets? 12 personalities, Brahma, Narada, Lord Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishma, Bali, Sukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj are agents of the Lord, authorized to speak and propagate the principles of religion. Bhagavatam 6:3:19-21. The principles of religion are not open to any ordinary living entity. They are just to bring the human being onto the platform of morality and non-violence, etc., are necessary for misguided persons, because unless one is moral and non-violent, one cannot understand the principles of religion. To understand what is actually religion is very difficult, even if one is situated in the principles of morality and non-violence. It is very confidential, because as soon as one is conversant with the real principles of religion, he is at once liberated to the eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Therefore, one who is not situated in the principles of devotional service to the Lord should not pose himself as a religious leader of innocent public. The Ishopanishad emphatically forbids this nonsense in the following mantra: Andam tama pravishanti ye sambutim upasate tato bhuya evatestmo yo ye sambutyam rata. Ishopanishad 12. A person in ignorance of the principles of religion, who therefore does nothing in the matter of religion, is far better than a person who misguides others in the name of religion without reference to the factual religious principles of devotional service. Such so-called leaders of religion are sure to be condemned by Brahma and other authorities. Om Jnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militan Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Smayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jitapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sakrachatam Saganaraguna Tam Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sayatam Krishna Chaitan Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamstra He Krishna Guruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Kripate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusita Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani, Charine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschityaita Sitarine. So, these verses are being followed one after the other, explaining to us about the precarious nature of this material world, the struggles, the kalayam asaswatam, the struggles, the sufferings and the pains we have to undergo to enjoy sense gratification. So Prabhupada here is going back. He says, as described in previous verse, that's the first line of the purport, people who have no taste for devotional service are occupied in material engagements. So just read the translation from text 9. It says, O my Lord, the material miseries are without factual existence for the soul. Yet, as long as the conditioned souls sees the body as meant for sense enjoyment, he cannot get out of the entanglement of material miseries, being influenced by your external energy. So, it's so clearly spelled out. There's no question of getting out of this material world without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's another verse in Bhagavad Gita, 7:14, where Krishna says this divine energy, this material energy is very, very powerful. We cannot control it at all. So he says, Krishna says, this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can cross beyond it. So Bhagavad Gita, you know, every page gives us explanation about how we can get out of this material world if we take shelter of Krishna. So, the verse before this was text number 8, whereby it spelled out word for word about the sufferings in the material world. It's amazing. I mean, it's not like everything is here, but it says, oh, great actor, it's calling the Supreme Lord. He's the creator, the maintainer, and the annihilator. So here Lord Brahma is saying, oh, great actor, you are everything. You act your part. You are the Supreme Lord. All these poor creatures are constantly perplexed by hunger. So it's not like we have to think, what is hunger? We can see people are suffering. You go to London, you see the homeless people, you know, looking for food. Someone buy them coffee, someone would buy them sandwiches. Third world country, people are starving to death, no food. And now this crisis with the war with Israel and Palestinians, there's truckloads of food being taken to them. Parshuram goes to some of these places to give free food, you know, so they helped in this way. So it's not like we can't imagine, we can't think. It's all there right in front of us. And also, thirst. Thirst, you know, we think, well, we open the tap here, there's running water, although we pay for it, but we're not really conscious. Other places, there's no water to drink, and they're drinking like muddy water, pond water, river water. And Parashuram also, by his goodwill, he's established pumps whereby these people can get pure water. severe cold. We can experience the severe cold in this country. It is cold here, but other country, I think in Poland sometimes it's minus 36, minus, it's not that hot. Yeah, so it's very, very cold. And then secretion, bile, sometimes when there's too much bile, the body gets sick. If it's too little, then there's disease set in. There's always something. Nothing is just right. You heard the story of Goldilocks. When we were little, she wanted everything just right. Not too hard, not too soft. Not too high, not too low. You know, like that. So we cannot get that in this material world. There's always extremes, you know, from one extreme to the other. Coughing winter. I can talk about myself about coughing winter. It's when you have respiration problem, it's the worst thing. You can't breathe, you can't, you know. It's very difficult when you're conscious of your breathing. We take it for granted. You know, we're not conscious that we're breathing air. But when you have problems with the lungs, then there's difficulty. You are conscious with every breath that you take, and it's a nightmare. So blasting summer, people that come from hot countries, sometimes in India it's 46 degrees. Now in South Africa, I come from South Africa, originally from South India. But my family tells me sometimes goes to 35, 40 degrees, you know, the summer. It's so hot. And they don't have, like, for the winter, they don't have central heating or, you know, air condition or whatever. They just have to make do with, you know, whatever they have. So blasting summer, rains, and many other disturbing elements overwhelm my strong sex urges and indefatigable anger. I take pity on them, and I'm very much aggrieved for them. So Brahma is feeling so much compassion. He can foresee all these things in the future. He hasn't been there yet. He's still speaking to the Lord, getting some lessons, getting some understanding, but he can foresee the future. So he's feeling so much compassion, and he says, I'm very much aggrieved for them. So in Srila Prabhupada's class on Tuesday, it was the most beautiful class. You can see how Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara, the disciplic succession, all that we have, the six Goswami, 500 years ago, where Lord Chaitanya came, and he gave us, he opened this doors of love, you know, to encourage us to practice this philosophy to get out of this material world. So in Srila Prabhupada's class on Tuesday, was so beautiful. He was saying how we are pure souls. We are part and parcel of Krishna. Somehow, we've made our way here to this material world and created this body for ourselves, which is contamination, actually. We are pure souls within, but we have this contaminated body. And Prabhupada used a beautiful analogy. He used the analogy of mud, muddy waters, he was talking about. So he's explaining that we are pure, but we've settled here for impurity. And he was explaining this muddy water has to undergo like chemical process for it to become pure again. And he said, if you take pure milk and you have a drop of alcohol in it, it spoils the purity of the milk. So he said, likewise, we were pure souls, servants of the Supreme Lord. We landed ourselves here and we become impure. Somehow we got to get out of this, you know, this muddy water. And what is the chemical process for us? How are we meant to get out of here? Anyone else? Devotional service. What is that devotional service? That's right, chanting Hare Krishna. What that, the verse that Lord Chaitanya gave, the first Shikshashtakam prayer. Chaito darpanam marjanam bhava mahadeva agni nirvapanam shri akairava chandrika vitaranam vityovadu jivanam anandam muttivadanam pratipadam punamitta svadanam sarvatna snapanam param vichar Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So this sankirtan, this chanting of the holy name, will cleanse the impurities of the heart. And by chanting Hare Krishna regularly, especially when we take vows to chant 16 rounds minimum and follow the four regulative principles, we carry on doing this. And this process cleanses the heart, until we, you know, come to this stage of love of God. But we have to practice with perseverance, not wanting results straight away. You know, for lifetimes we've been here struggling for existence. So we have to have the patience and tolerance if we have committed ourselves to take vows, become qualified to become Brahmins, or, you know, accepting a spiritual master, then we have to follow rigidly to get the best results. So in today's verse, it's very interesting, i.e., in the daytime, it's explained here, mainly in the daytime, this is more like, you know, teenagers, children, they're all suffering, but this is mainly talking about adults. They're making plans. In the daytime, they're making plans. In the morning, everyone's getting ready for work. Now, some may use the buses, transport, some may have their own cars, train, whatever the case may be. But everyone is even struggling to get to work. They're stuck in the traffic. They don't know what to do. They're rushing to the train. The train is delayed. There's so many people, they can't even get in the train. Or they take the bus. The bus, you know, doesn't turn up. Something goes wrong somewhere. But for devotees, what do? If they have spare time, they're stuck in the traffic, they might chant, you know, some slokas, or they have a bead. Of course, you don't chant while you're driving. You know, chant in your mind or recite slokas. One time I was coming to the temple, and this was like maybe 25 years ago, and my son was next to me sitting, and I just came to the tennis court, parked the car there. Next to me was my spiritual master driving in, and I tried to hide my bead bag because I was chanting while I was driving, and my son, I think, was about 4 or 5. He came out to the car. He didn't talk to me. He said, Sachi, he spoke to my son. He said, Sachi, can you tell your mum that the next time she drives, she doesn't hold a bead bag while she's chanting? She can drive without the bead bag. And he just looked. He's only little. So I never, ever done it after that. Always, you know, that was a lesson for me. So, yeah, we can be doing something. Devotees never get bored. Whether they're in a queue, whether they're in some rush, anywhere, they dovetail their time, their energy to meditate or chant or read or do something. So artha, the next one is artha, engagement. They're always engaged in very distress. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Cha. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Gonita Kija. They engage in very distressing engagement. You know, my neighbors, they're doing some construction work, and we're getting the, you know, sound, what you call noise, tumultuous sound, should come from chanting the holy names in, you know, Sankirtan. A big noise, mridanga playing, we say tumultuous. But this noise from next door, they have like What are they using? Bulldozers, they're using drills, and they're using big machines, mixers and all sorts. And the noise is incredible. We just have to put up with it. We've got no choice. But what happens is they become, because of the noise, because of the hard work, hard labor, they're becoming frustrated with their job. And in the event, when there's little disagreements, they start fighting. We heard it. We heard it a few years ago because the walls are quite thin and they're working outside. A big fight. We thought, oh my God, these guys are going to kill each other, you know. They're fighting. And because they don't want to listen to the manager, or they have their own way of the way they want to do things. So they're fighting. So workplace is not happy. It's not a happy place. And everyone that's going to work is in a confined space. Everyone, whether they're in an office, whether they're in a factory, whether they're in, you know, I don't know, wherever they are, but they're in a confined space. And sometimes they're doing the same thing all day. When I was on Sankirtan, I was doing industrial estates in Leicester, and I walked into a factory, a clothing factory, and they had rows and rows of machines, sewing machines. And each machine, you had a person sitting, sewing. But they had order for like thousands of shirts. And one row would do just the sleeve, fitting the sleeve on a shirt. Other one a collar, other one a bodice like that. All day the same thing, because they'd need to get out 1,000 shirts. And by the end of the day, they're so tired. All they're thinking of is shirts and the sewing. Frustration builds up. And not only that, machinery as well. Building Prayojana, you worked in, you said a machinery or a plane base or whatever. Yeah. So car mobile place, every metal, every steel, they're working all day and they become very, very tired. So by the time they go home, they get so tired, they're looking for some solution to their unrest, for the thinking. And sometimes they think, oh, if I have a little drink, I'll feel better. Or if I smoke certain substance, I'll feel better. But when they do this, they might indulge. They might take too much or eat too much. So in that way, insomnia sets in. Insomnia sets in and they can't sleep. They can't sleep. And yeah, the word bhagna is used. Even when they fall asleep, the sleep is broken. Frustration builds up. And then they broke sleep. And then in that way, the mode of ignorance sets in. And it's explained that sleep is very important for intelligence. Once you rested, you're able to think. But the mind is racing. When the mind is racing, it's like a cart with wild horses pulling it. The mind is all over the place. And in this way, when the mind is all over the place, we cannot be peaceful, we cannot rest. So we need to be peaceful at night when we're resting. So this bhagna, which is broken sleep, builds up frustration. And in the morning, you get up tired, restless, and you think, oh, not another day to work again. You know, you reluctantly go to work. This is what happens day in and day out. So I had an example for myself about insomnia. Not that I was going to work hard and all that, but you can experience insomnia in other ways as well. So two months ago, I was in America, Florida, to see my daughter. And you know, Florida is 5.5 hours difference of time to here. Going there was okay, but when I came back, when it's like 4:30 there, it's around 9 o'clock here for us to go to bed. So it took me like 3 weeks for my body to adjust to the time here, 5.5 hours. It was so, I don't know, did any one of you experience that jet lag? Yeah, jet lag. Anyway, it was very difficult. A friend of mine just came back from Florida. She said for the last 3 days she's been going to bed at 5 in the morning. That's how bad, because this body is made so perfectly, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, everything should be regulated. If it's unregulated, then there's problems set in. You have to follow according to T. Krishna, the creator, he's made us into perfect human beings so we can work towards getting out of here. Vishakha on yesterday, she gave this wonderful class. I was so touched because she gave this example of this verse. I think it was the 11th canto, 20th verse, something like that, where Krishna is so kind, is very liberal. Sometimes we're very hard on ourselves. We persecute ourselves to perform devotional service. So he explains that Krishna is saying there in that verse that you should always be happy. Happy in devotional service. Don't worry about the times, the few times that you succumb to sense gratification. Because we have to understand we're in the material world. We're trying to use a chemical process to make that muddy water pure again. Only through devotional service, to constantly persevering, then we can become pure again, to be able to serve their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, with our pure heart. So, yeah, Prabhupada very nicely gave that, and Srila and Krishna is saying there, that we should always be happy in devotional service. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. You know, we should have that happiness within. Come hail or high waters, we should be very, very fortunate that we have Krishna. Be fortunate. You know, those that haven't got, don't know Krishna, we should feel compassion for them. Give it to them. Make them happy. You know, go out on arena. Distribute books. Think how you can distribute this book. Even the postman come to your door, think how you can give him something. Anyone, delivery person, anyone that you meet, you can give a book. One time I had, sometime my oxygen level goes down and I have to get the paramedics. 4 of them came and they were checking my oxygen level. And then I was okay after that. Then on the leaving, I said, look, this is not by chance you came here. You came on a special mission, 4 of them. So gave them four of them, higher taste and chant and be happy, all of them. 3 of them got chant and be happy, higher taste, and 1 got Bhagavad Gita. I said, you have to share this book. And they were bewildered. They're just looking, you know. I said, your life has started now. You came here. You didn't come for me. You came for yourself, really. So they went off with the books. And yeah, we should think, because people normally don't get anything. When they do get something, they're overwhelmed because normally they're giving, you know. So, they're taking. People take off them. And when you give something, they get very happy. So we should always think how we can give. Because Srila Prabhupada, 6 Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, Guru Parampara, all the way coming, descending down the disciplic succession, they all come here out of compassion. Advaita Acharya screamed, sitting on the bank of the Ganges. His sound vibration pierced the 3 worlds. That's how Lord Chaitanya came, you know. That's how powerful devotees are. So we should try our best to give this Krishna consciousness and always try to be happy, happy in Krishna consciousness, not morose. We might get, do things wrong, but Just think, Krishna is very kind. He's in my heart. He's guiding me. Even the sense gratification we engage in is not independently our doing. We should see, one time Prabhupada said, if you see Krishna's hand in every little thing you do, then you are Krishna conscious. Everything that happens to your life is not by chance. Any little thing you can see, any little thing that happens, you should think straight away, this is Krishna. Krishna's hand is in it. So if you know Krishna's hand, even the sense gratification that we perform is already ordained. We have a little sense gratification, and we have, you know, with that we have some pain and suffering. So for a devotee, he thinks of the verse 2:14, Matras Pasas Tukunteya Sitosna Sukadukada. So happiness and distress, as devotees, we have to undergo that as well. Not only the materialists, devotees have to undergo happiness and distress. So happiness and distress will come and go, come and go. They're just like brother and sister. When one goes, then the other one feels separation. Happiness leaves, and then distress is there. Distress feels separation, then happiness comes. So they have tense, like, you know, in and out. So we have to, and that verse explains, one who can tolerate them, how does the end go, Govinda? Matras passes that. Bharata, one who can tolerate. Yeah, tolerate these things. So, yeah. So Prabhupada also explains that the big scientists, intellectuals, they're building bombs. What they're building bombs to blow up people. Is this a nice thing? No, of course it's not a nice thing. But what happens, because they did this big feat, they get a Nobel Prize for it. You know, you've done this big magic here, you get a Nobel Prize. But what is the conclusion? The conclusion is they are rotating in this material world again. You know, from births and births and deaths. Even the great sages and so-called munis who are averse to the principles of devotional service, then they have to undergo the same terms and conditions of material existence. They have to come and go all the time. Impersonalists may want to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. They have to come down, as explained in 10:32, where Prabhupada explains, persons who are falsely under the impression of being liberated without devotional service to the Lord may reach the goal of the Brahma Jyoti, but because of their impure consciousness and for want of shelter in Vaikuntha Lokas, such so-called liberated persons again fall down into material existence. So that's what Prabhupada is saying there. And then on the fourth chapter, how do we know who is authorized or not? These questions are got. How do we know? And yeah, it's given in detail. In detail, you can read it yourself, the principles of religion, as from the Bhagavatam 6:3:19. To really understand the principles of devotional service, morality and non-violence are not enough. It's not enough, oh, you don't want to kill animals, I'll become a vegetarian, or I'll be a good person, I'll give in charity, or I'll do this, I'll do that. No, morality is not enough, but it's necessary. It's necessary as a building block or a preliminary stage to attain devotional service. That's why we say sometimes, you have to come to the mode of goodness at least to start devotional service, to perform devotion. You can't, it's difficult to be in the mode of ignorance and take to devotional service, even though sometimes You can be in the mode of ignorance like Jagai and Madai. God's special mercy, you can get special mercy. It's called Agyata Sukriti, causeless mercy of the Lord. But very rarely you get, you know, from the mode of ignorance, you can get devotional service. So at least come to the mode of goodness. A person in ignorance of the principles of religion who does nothing is far better than the person who misguides others. Misguides other others in the name of religion. This is at the end. It says, better keep your mouth shut than misguiding people about God consciousness or devotional service. And it's explained, Prabhupada is explaining at the end, that person that keeps the mouth shut is better than the so-called leaders who misguide others in the name of religion. In the name of religion, they preach, they collect money, they collect guru dakshin, they do whatever the case they may be, but these so-called leaders are condemned by Lord Brahma and other authorities. So better they not do anything. So, 25 to 9, I'll stop there for any comments, questions, or whatever. But I'll just say again, everyone, try and be as happy as possible in devotional service. It's a beautiful place to be. I'll tell you, we should be so fortunate and so happy we're placed here. We like the chosen ones, really. We shouldn't be proud or, you know, like that. But at the same time, we have to have gratitude, respect, awe, reverence for the Lord, and pray every day to be where we are, you know. Don't persecute yourself for liberation. Anyone has anything? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for enlightening class. So when we got book distribution or Harina, we see the people, they are into moral ignorance most of the time. They are obviously not on morality level, on level of morality. And they, most of the time, our first preference is to hand them a book. But most of the times they are again reluctant to take book as well. So at that time, are there any practical tips which we can do to get them so that they can get some Ajna Sukriti, so it will benefit them later on in their future?
Okay. For us, it's very difficult to judge who's on what platform, who's who. So I was reading something, I can't remember, it was in a little calendar I was reading. Prabhupada said, when you're distributing book, when someone is not taking a book, he's being whispered in his ear already, the person is being whispered in his ear already, you're not ready for it. You're not ready for this book. So even when we're distributing book, we should take shelter of Krishna in the heart. We shouldn't feel like disappointed or frustrated. We do our bit. We try to present the book nicely and tell people what the book is about. And if they point blankly refuse you and they say, no, 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 don't push it so much that they become inimical and frustrated. They have to go away happy with a book or happy without a book. Then next time, if they're fortunate, if you have like a cookie or a sweet to give them, next time they will start. Because they met you as a devotee, that is Sukriti already. If you touch them, you put the hand in the your book in the hand, they're all transcendental. They have transcendental vibrations, very pure. If you put Bhagavad Gita or whatever book in their hand, they've touched it already. You see, the dormant soul has awakened. Like, somehow they will. Like my husband, he met one devotee. In the beginning, he met one devotee. She talked to him, she gave him a book. And the next time, he met somebody else. And he read the book a little bit, but then it was in the background. The next time he met somebody else, and this person said, it would do you a whole lot of good if you at least went to the temple once. So that's his life starting, you know. So he went to Soho Street. And then his life started just by hearing and listening like that. So we have to pray, take shelter of Krishna when we're distributing books, and don't be disappointed. Just be happy. When people see you happy with what you're doing, it becomes very infectious. Then they see you, they see your face lit up and you're happy with what you're doing. And they go away thinking, who is this person? You know, one time I was distributing books and this person, I went to him, no, I don't want a book. Then I thought, maybe I should persevere a little bit. You can persevere a little bit, but not so much that they get upset. So I went after him, I said, look, you didn't even hear what I was saying. Just listen to what I'm saying, and then you decide you can walk away, there's no problem. So just explain to him, you know, how you're a spirit soul, and, you know, it's a scientific, but I just gave him a few things. He took 3 books after that, 3 big books, you know, he walked away with 3 books like this. And I thought, this is not, it's Krishna in the heart, you know, changes them when you speak. So don't be disappointed. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Please. Pastime, okay, sure.
This one that Gaur Govinda Swami gave a really nice example, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. And he was there was a person that came to the temple, and he was in distress. He was a businessman, and he said, "Well, come in, you know." And he sat there, and he fell asleep during the Bhagavatam class, and. But he was in distress and always wakeful at night. He couldn't sleep or anything. And then one of the devotees went to wake him up. He said, don't do that. The cure is happening now by listening to the Bhagavatam class. And then he woke up and he felt so good. Mm. And he went again. And from that, he became a devotee. Just by the perplexities and distress that he was feeling in his life.
Right.
Yeah. He says the curative effect is in happening now.
Fantastic.
Just leave him be. Yeah. So that's just a little pastime. You know, I heard it was very sweet, I thought. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Any ladies? Yes?
Thank you so much for this beautiful class. I just wanted to ask you if you can elaborate on that, or maybe I wanted to ask if I understood it properly. So towards the end, it says that the principles of religion are not open to any ordinary living entity. They are just to bring the human being onto the platform of morality. And then Śrīla Prabhupāda says that even if someone is moral, doesn't mean that they can understand what is real religion. So I'm not sure if this is the right way I understood it, but I understood it that it means that religion can help us to come to the right way of acting, but unless we actually understand that religion means about serving God, then we cannot understand it fully. Is it what it
means?
Yeah,
it explains there in this verse what real religion means. Real religion means devotional service. Devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is real religion. So any other thing, right, Govinda? Yeah, so any other thing is like maybe taking you there in different levels, different real religion that can take you back home, back to Godhead, real, is devotional service. Devotional service to the Supreme Personality, Godhead. Like Prabhupada mentioned, Jesus Christ is a representative of God. If you worship Jesus Christ nicely, thinking he's a messenger of God, then they talk about paradise. You can go to paradise where Jesus Christ is. Enjoy, like the heavenly planets, you can enjoy there as much because it's very difficult. There's no kind of austerities there where you can sit and meditate and go back. Sometimes they do, but most of the time, once their pious credit is finished, then they have to come down again. So real religion, is, you can say religion or real religion, is devotional service. Now the morality and what was the others? Religion and the morality.
Non-violence.
No, you can have all these things, but it doesn't mean that they will take you to devotional service or you become religious. You get like people saying, save the whale, save this, save that, but they gross meat eaters, they will eat the cow. You know, how can you call them non-violent people? If you fighting to save other animals and you're a meat eater yourself, can you call yourself non-violent? No. So real religion, there's religions, so many different types of religions, but real religion is service to the Supreme. Is that okay? You got something, Govinda, you can add? Thank you very much.
There's just one little point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes. So it's like, you know, if you got dollars, you can exchange them into pounds and so forth. But when it comes to Sukriti, the Sukriti you get from piety cannot be exchanged for devotion. So you can be the most pious person in the world, but it will never be give you any credit when it comes to spiritual advancement. So devotion only comes from devotion itself, which can come through Sangha or Agyata Sukriti, as you said. So because there's no transfer, so no amount of piety will ever qualify you for even a fragment of devotional service.
Can I ask you a question? So if you get that Sukriti, if you get that piety, can you not continue with that to attain devotional service?
There is one advantage to that type of Sukriti. It's said that that's like dry grass. So when you do get the Bhakti Lata Beach, because you're already in the mode of goodness, and that Sukriti, it's mundane in itself, but when you add Bhakti to it, you can quickly progress because you're not contaminated by ignorance and passion. So yeah, and you can obviously carry on being pious because it's not against devotional service itself. So it's actually recommended. Being pious is recommended as it goes well with devotional service.
Thank you. That was brilliant. Thank you. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki.